Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hello, my lovelies. And welcome to this episode of the So Mindful podcast. This is the first of the pattern review chats that I mentioned I'd be doing in this season of episodes. So I was thinking about which pattern to start with. Because it's turning autumnal here in the UK, I looked at the garments that I'm reaching for from my wardrobe to see what might be a helpful make for you at this time of year. The temperature can change quite a lot in the UK from one day to the next. If you live somewhere where the temperature changes significantly with the seasons, it can be a challenge to know what to wear each day to stay comfortable. One way to dress for that is to have items in your wardrobe that allow you to layer up. I have also started to encounter my own bodily changes in temperature, thanks to the menopause. So I find that layers give me more options. So if you're looking for a make that will help you transition, then one of my favourite garments for that is the duster jacket or duster coat. Or as I saw Jenny Rushmore refer to it recently, of cashmereette, a house coat. Now, until about 12 months ago, I didn't know what a duster coat or jacket was. And if you're not familiar with that term, then long cardigan might sum it up better for you. Or long cardi, as I say, from where I'm from. But as I associate cardigans with the kind of hand-knitted types of cardigan, this is the type of long cardigan that you can sew and can be made from a wide range of fabrics, both stretch and non-stretch. They are usually worn unfastened and can work over both trousers and dresses. They can be made to come just above the knee, or longer versions can be almost maxi length. The joy of sewing is that you can be the designer and you can decide. As I'm short, I like the illusion that duster jackets create, particularly if you wear a single colour top and bottom underneath them. They're great over skinny jeans, as I think they hide a multitude of sins.
The pattern.
So which pattern have I chosen? Well, for a long time, I was a fan of the sewing magazine subscriptions that came with free patterns. This pattern came with a subscription of Sew Magazine and is the Simplicity 8557 pattern. It's a multi-garment pattern and says in big letters on the front, easy to sew. It includes a dress and a tunic, both with three-quarter sleeves, a sleeveless top, cropped trousers or leggings, and the duster jacket. All of the styles are for use with stretch or knit fabrics. The front of the envelope shows all the garments made up in the various shades of blue, and to be honest, it's a little uninspiring, but don't let that put you off. So if you've never sewn with knit fabrics before, you might be thinking, oh well, this one's not for me. But don't be put off, I'm going to give you some tips on how you can make use of this pattern even if you've never sewn with knits before. The jacket doesn't have a lot of shaping, but because it's for knits, that does make it quite drapey. It has a V-neck with no fastenings, so meets edge to edge at the front, and is designed to be worn open. The sleeves are quite wide at both the armhole and through the wrist, so if you wanted to wear something with sleeves underneath, there's plenty of room for doing that. The sleeves have a split in the cuff edge, and I'll talk more about that later. There are also splits in the side seam at the bottom. It has inseam pockets and the front edge has a facing, and that's about it. Simple but effective.
The sizing.
Now, the sizing of this pattern is limited compared to some of the pattern brands now available. It goes from what they call XXS, which is 29.5 inch bust or 75 centimetres, 22 inch or 56 centimetre waist, and 31.5 inch or 80 centimetre hip, up to what they call XXL, which is 48 inches at the bust or 122 centimetres, 41.5 inches or 105 centimetres at the waist, and 50 inches or 127 centimetres at the hip. If that doesn't cover your measurements, then a great alternative is the cashmereette fuller cardigan, which goes up to 62 inches or 157 and a half centimetres at the bust, 52 inches or 132 centimetres at the waist, And again, 62 inches or 157 and a half centimetres at the hip. The V-neck version, because there are two versions, but the V-neck version is very similar to the Simplicity version that we've just mentioned. Although the fuller cardigan does have a raglan sleeve and it could be lengthened to a duster coat length. And I think I saw a blog post where Jenny Rushmore had just done that, hence the housecoat terminology that she'd referred to. My basic measurements are 36 inch bust, 31 inch waist and 41 inches at the hip. So I selected the medium size initially. The medium size gives body measurements of a bust of 36 to 38, a waist of 28 to 30, and hip measurements of 38 to 40. There is a table on the back of the pattern envelope that gives some basic finished garment measurements, but it's better to check on the pattern pieces themselves for each garment because that gives more details. On the front pattern piece for style E, which is the jacket, it gives a finished measurement for the medium as a bust of 44 inches. It doesn't give the waist and hip, but the design is pretty much straight up and down from there, and so those measurements are approximately all the way down. So that means that the pattern has 8 inches of ease around the bust. That means extra room greater than the size of your body. Well, for me, that's a bit too much ease in that area. It just makes me look a bit short and dumpy. So I ended up sizing down the bust to the small size, which has a finished measurement of 40 inches, and then blending that to the medium size at the waist and hip.
The fabrics.
The suggested fabrics for this pattern are stretch knits only. It recommends double knits, which you might also know as Ponte Roma or interlocks, jersey fabric, spandex blends, and stretch velvet. There is a guide on the pattern envelope to show you how much stretch is needed, and this suggests 50%. I think here that they're also covering the stretch required for the other garments in the pattern, but to be honest, for the jacket, I don't think you need that much stretch as it's quite a loose fit. In terms of stretch, it might also be helpful to clarify a few bits of terminology at this point. These were mentioned in our previous podcast, episode 50, with Mel Keane.
People might think, oh, well, the pattern tells you what type of fabric to buy. But I didn't know the difference between all the different types of fabrics. There's even different types of linen. Linen with stretch, linen with all sorts of different mixes, and the cottons as well. Yeah, and I didn't know how to measure stretch. Is it 20%, 30%? And what's four-way stretch versus two-way stretch? So there was a really big learning curve.
So let's cover a bit of theory.
The theory, two-way and four-way stretch.
Let's start with the difference between two-way and four-way stretch. So if you take a piece of stretch fabric, like jersey, and you place it on the table with the selvages, that's the non-cut edges, at the sides, and the cut edges at the top and the bottom. Now pull the sides of the fabric away from one another and see if it stretches and how far it stretches. Be sure to pull in just one direction outwards. Now take the top and bottom of the piece of fabric and pull those away from each other. Does the fabric also stretch in that direction? And is it more or less stretchy in that direction than it was pulling it from side to side? If it only stretches in one of the directions, usually from side to side, then this is a two-way stretch fabric. If it stretches from side to side and also from top to bottom, then this is called a four-way stretch fabric. Usually, one of the directions will stretch more than the other, and you might also see this referred to as the direction of greatest stretch or dogs. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Jackie, but why do I care? It's okay. I know you're not really thinking that because you're so hooked on my every word about this exciting tale of stretch fabrics. But anyway, back to the plot. So the reason this is important is because sometimes you want a garment to stretch in multiple directions and sometimes you definitely don't. So for things like gym or active wear, like leggings and leotards, do people still wear leotards or is that a bit 70s? Am I showing my age? I don't know. Anyway, for those garments, you want to be able to move in all directions. It's hard to wrap your legs around your head without your bottom showing if your leggings only stretch from side to side. Yeah, that is an image that neither of us is going to get out of our heads anytime soon. However, moving swiftly on. The time when you don't really want stretch in all directions is when you are making something like a longer dress or jacket. Because what that can mean is that the jacket grows throughout the day as the weight of the fabric stretches it lengthways as well as widthways. I'm going to be talking about a dress in a future episode where that exact problem happened to me, so be sure to tune in for that. Now, you might have experienced this with loose hand-knitted jumpers, those ones with the kind of bigger holes or the looser knits that grow as you wear them. They come up to your hip when you put them on, and then by the end of the day, they're down to your knees. Or is that just my knitting? I don't know. Anyway, for this pattern, you'll ideally want a two-way stretch fabric. And when you put on your pattern pieces, you're going to put them so that the grain lines of the pattern are at right angles to the direction of the stretch of the fabric. This means that it will then stretch around your body and not lengthways.
Measuring stretch percentage.
Okay, so time for our second bit of theory. Another question that came up when I was chatting to Mel was, how do you measure stretch? Because patterns say things like must have 50% stretch or must have at least 20% stretch. So the way that I check or measure stretch is to lay out a piece of the fabric with the selvages at the sides. Imagine there's a horizontal line across your fabric. Place a pin on the imaginary line and then measure and place another pin 10 centimetres away from it along the line. Now hold your first pin at the end of your tape measure and then stretch the other pin as far as you can comfortably stretch it. Make a note of how far it stretches or where it stretches to on your tape measure. So if you can stretch it to 12 centimetres, then that means it has stretched 2 centimetres, which is 20% of the 10 centimetres you started with. If you can stretch it to 15 centimetres, that means it's stretched 5 centimetres, which is 50% of the 10 centimetres you started with. But why should you care about how much stretch your fabric's got? Why is that important? Well, depending on the design that you're trying to make, you want more or less stretch. So if it's a close-fitting pattern, or it has something like a fitted waist or a small neck opening, then you might need enough stretch to be able to get the garment on or off. But this jacket has quite loose-fitting sleeves and doesn't go over your head or even really fasten up. As long as you pick the right size, then you shouldn't really need a lot of stretch to get it on and off. And it's really more there for comfort and ease of fitting.
Jackie's fabric choices.
So what fabric did I choose? Well, I've made this pattern now in three different types of fabric. The first was a cotton jersey with an animal print that I got from Sew Wardrobe. This fabric was fairly lightweight, like when you buy a good quality t-shirt. The second was a red jacquard knit. You'll have seen these around. The fabric looks like it's been knitted with a twisting cable stitch on the front. This is a much thicker and less drapey fabric, although it hangs really well. The third, and probably my favourite of all three, is the most recent one I made from a fabric described as faux Angora jersey. The official name for the colour of this is golden ochre, but I'd call it mustard. It has a textured surface, a bit like one of those fluffy Angora sweaters popular in the 80s, for those of you who are old enough to remember those. I love all three versions. But I ended up giving the animal print one to my mum, as in the later versions, I added a bit more room to the back hip for my ample behind, and whilst I loved the print, the colours weren't quite right for me. There was quite a lot of white in the background, and it just didn't really flatter my colour. I also love the red jacquard version, but I have to say that I do tend to feel a bit more like I'm wearing a dressing gown when I wear that one. I can't quite pin down why. Maybe it's because the fabric is thicker. But I do get a lot of wear out of it as it's very snuggly, it's really warm and it's really comfortable to wear. And I like the weight of the mustard one. Because the fabric is warm and it's closer to the weight of the jersey, so I can wear it when it's cool, not just when it's really cold. And I'm wearing a lot of colours that go with the mustard at the moment, so it works with quite a few outfits.
Construction.
So let's talk about making this garment. Well, the first one I made, I didn't make a toile. I know, I tell you all the time to make a toile. But I decided that because the pattern was quite straightforward and the fabric was quite stretchy, I could make the adjustments that I needed as I went along. But there are a few fitting issues that I know I have to accommodate in most of my makes. So I did do a small rounded back adjustment before cutting out the pattern for the back, because you can't do that after you've cut the fabric out. If you want to know more about how to do that, then check the podcast notes for a link to my tutorial on the So Much More Fun YouTube channel. So I cut the medium size and I machine basted the shoulder seams and the side seams. By machine basting, I mean I sewed it up with a long, narrow zigzag. So I used a stitch length of 4 and a width of about 1.5. This was so that I could check the sizing before I sewed it up properly. It was at this point it did seem quite big at the bust, so I unpicked it, adjusted my pattern to the smaller size at the bust area, and blended it to the waist being the medium size, laid it back on the fabric and trimmed off the bits that I didn't need. I then rebasted it and was much happier with the fit. I made sure I'd also trimmed the sleeves down at the sleeve head to the small size, and then I basted that in to check the fit. For a first go, I was really pleased with it, so I decided to assemble it properly as per the instructions. When adding the pockets, I ironed a strip of non-stretch interfacing to the side seam on the front and back where the pocket was going to be attached, to prevent it from stretching out. So this overlapped where I was going to sew the stitch line for the pocket. When I did the understitching on the pocket, I used a straight stitch with the length of 3 because I like it to look neat and there's no need for that to be able to stretch. The hardest part I found when making it for the first time was adding the interfacing that goes all the way along the front edges and round the back of the neck. I had interfaced the facing pieces and I used a non-stretch interfacing as I didn't want the front edge to stretch. Attaching it wasn't too bad, and I made sure to put the front bodice as the bottom layer when I was sewing, so that was against the bed of the machine, which I would definitely recommend doing, because then the feed dogs can help feed that through and it doesn't get caught so much on the presser foot as you're trying to sew. But after I had understitched the facing and then pressed it to the inside, the pattern instructions say to fold the other edge under and then top stitch that in place. Because that's a bit closer to the body of the fabric, I thought I might need to use a twin needle for that. So I was trying to sew that as a decorative detail so I'd end up with 2 lines of stitching all along the front. But that meant trying to sew it from the right side with the facing against the machine. And that meant I was trying to guess where the edge of the facing piece was, whilst also trying to battle with the fact that the stretchy part of the fabric was against the presser foot. This made it really tricky. I had several goes and I couldn't really get it to look good. So in the end, I decided that I would overlock the edge of the facing piece and then from the wrong side, I would just stitch that down, making sure that everything was laying flat. I ended up using a straight stitch with a stitch length of 3. With all of the versions, I assembled the garment with zigzag stitches with a stitch length of 2.5 and a width of either 1 or 1.5, depending on the thickness of the fabric. With the lighter fabrics, I also used a clear elastic in the shoulder seam to stop it from stretching out with the weight of the sleeve. The other point I made a note to tell you about was to check the length of the side pieces at the split before sewing the hem, just to make sure that they match. I didn't do this on the first one, and they didn't, so I had to redo the hem, which was a right pain. I overlocked the edges of the fabric at the bottom, turned up the hem allowance, and then used a twin needle to stitch the hem in place, using a stitch length of 3 or 3.5, depending on the thickness of the fabric.
Adjustments.
I learned a lot from making the first version. I did make other adjustments to the pattern prior to making the second and third versions. I shortened the bodice between the bust and the waist by 1 inch on the front and the back to raise up the waist position for my short body. This meant also adjusting the front facing piece to match. As I mentioned, I added 1 inch to the side seam at the hip, grading to nothing at the waist on the back pattern piece only, to accommodate my more than ample derriere. On the red version, I changed the sleeve slightly from the split opening to having a wide cuff, as it seemed that that was more fitting for the fabric. I also decided that as the fabric was so thick, an inseam pocket might look a bit bulky. So instead, I created 2 rectangles and sewed them on as patch pockets to the fronts instead. On the mustard version, I decided that I wanted the sleeve to fit a bit more snugly at the wrist, so I tapered it in to fit. I have also added dart markings on the back pattern pieces for a fisheye or double-ended dart at the waist level. I did sew this on the thicker jacquard knit version, and I think I'm going to make a version in a Ponte Roma, and it will be more flattering for me with a bit of shaping in the back for those heavier fabrics. With the lighter fabrics, they're slightly more clingy and I don't need that as much.
So do you recommend it?
I do really like this pattern and the way it can look quite different with different types of fabric. It's also now quite quick for me to make, so this mustard version I made the day that we were travelling for our holidays. If you're just starting out with knit fabrics, then it's a great one to try, particularly if you choose a double knit fabric, like a Ponte Roma, that doesn't have a lot of stretch and behaves quite like a non-stretch fabric to sew. I'll be creating a short tutorial next week on sewing inseam pockets with knit fabrics. I'll be putting that on the So Much More Fun YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe to get notified as soon as that's available. I've also done some little images and videos of me wearing the different versions, so check that out in the podcast notes for more details, or go to somuchmorefun.co.uk/post/episode51. In the notes, I have also added a link to the pattern. So are you inspired? Can you picture yourself on those cool autumn days reaching into your wardrobe for a gorgeous handmade duster jacket to keep you all snug and warm? If you're thinking, but I don't know how to sew with stretch fabrics and that seems way too difficult to learn on my own, then why not join the waitlist for my virtual live workshop program, Getting Started with Stretch Fabrics, where we will be sewing a stretch garment together, answering all of your questions and sharing lots of tips and tricks. You can sign up on the website somuchmorefun.co.uk. So give it a go. Click the link. Buy the pattern if you don't already have it. And if you have questions, then please let me know, as I'm more than happy to help. If you've already made this pattern or have a favourite similar pattern, then let me know, as I'd love to share that with everyone. You can email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk or message me on Instagram or Facebook. That's it for today. I hope you're inspired and I look forward to seeing all of your photos of all of your duster jackets. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.